With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 Podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them, because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey everyone, welcome into the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. We've got Week 17 DFS today. I'm Bobby Sylvester, joined as always by Mike Tagliere. And we're on Twitter at Bobby Fantasy Pro and Mike Tagliere NFL. Tags, what's going on, buddy?
Oh, nothing. It's a week without the primer. It's Christmas week. It was a good week in the household, and I'm happy to be talking DFS. It's weird to do it on a Friday, but it's a nice way to kick off the weekend.
Yeah, I went to a Brazilian steakhouse last night for my birthday. My birthday's on Christmas, by the way. And I put away some meat, pretty pumped up. And I'm really excited about the guest we have going on today because he just thinks about things in a different way than I do. So he always gives me this different perspective and helps me realize what I'm missing out on. It's Davis Matic. He's on Twitter at his name, Davis Matic, and he hosts the Swolecast, Takecast. He works for Roto Expert, Sports Grid. He's all over the map doing all kinds of stuff. Davis, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Always enjoy coming on, so I really appreciate it.
All right, guys, and before we dive into it, I wanted to tell you about another podcast we have going on. This one is hosted by the same guy, Dan Harris, that hosts the Sunday Recap Show with Tags. He also does the baseball podcast with me sometimes, and Dan is awesome. It's the Betting Pros Podcast. You can go to bettingpros.com/podcast, and even though season-long fantasy football might be over, you can still bet money in Week 17 and during the playoffs, and we have our best NFL Week 17 bets plus favorite props episode currently available. Again, that's bettingpros.com/podcast. All right, guys, so here's what we've got going on, okay? It's a huge main slate, 15 games on the main slate, so we've got a lot of options. There's obviously a ton of value options as well, but it's just a matter of getting the edge and picking those best ones. I'm really hoping you guys have some guys in mind for wide receiver, because I'm not feeling as excited about that position. But we'll go position by position. We'll start with cash games for both FanDuel and DraftKings. And at the running back position, with Christian McCaffrey eyeing that historical season, Davis, is he going to be in your lineup this week?
Yeah, as of right now, the way that I am building things on DraftKings, it seems like he is almost for sure going to be in my lineup, because we should get DeAndre Washington, we have Damian Williams, we have Patrick Laird, Justice Hill, and Gus Edwards in terms of value options. Now, people need to understand, you are taking, I know it feels like Christian McCaffrey is just a slam dunk in this lineup. They're going to try and get him all of these receptions and everything to get these records. But New Orleans is incentivized to play in this game. So they are not here to let Christian McCaffrey get the 216 yards that he needs to break the all-time scrimmage record. They're not here to let him get 20 receptions. And Carolina has one of the lowest team totals of the week. You know, their team total, just for people to put it in perspective, their team total is lower than the New York Jets and the Buffalo Bills. It's the same as the Detroit Lions, who is the one of the worst teams playing this week. So I am planning on playing McCaffrey, and I think that the coaches are being honest when they say that they want to get him these records, but it might just be a situation of, like, they might just get ran out of the building.
First of all, Tags, I want to say this. We know Sheldon Rankins and Davenport are out. So what does this mean for the Saints' run defense? Is it still among the top in the league? Is it just mediocre at this point? Less than mediocre?
I don't want to say it's less than mediocre. Like they've kind of proven over the last 2 weeks, they may not be the dominant run stopping defense that's going to hold you to like 3 yards per carry. But I mean, going back to when Rankins and him were on the field, McCaffrey played them in week 12 and scored 34.3 PPR points. So it was a dominating game. He caught 9 passes for 69 yards. He only rushed for 64 yards in that game. But that's the thing is like McCaffrey, we have to stop thinking about him like a running back. And I'm trying to figure out the best way to relay that to like even season-long readers of like the articles and everything is that I went through and I was going through like things that I learned from this season, almost creating like a diary, and I'm going to put it in an article. If you were to take away all the receiving from Christian McCaffrey, every single bit of it, okay, just take the rushing totals from all the running backs, he's the number one running back. If you take just the receiving totals, he's the number 13 wide receiver in PPR format. So it's like you're getting the RB1, the actual RB1, and then on top of that, you're getting a borderline wide receiver one in that same spot. So it's like if you were to split them up and kind of like do 5,000 on each player and combine it into one slot, he's kind of like a lock. And while I do like Ezekiel Elliott, maybe even a little bit more than McCaffrey this week.
I was going to ask. Yeah, I like Elliott a little more than McCaffrey. I want to use both, though.
I do. I'm going to try and find a way to use both, and we're going to talk our way through those options, like the guys that you're going to have to use if you do want to play both these guys. But I do want to find a way to play both of them this week.
What do you think about Zeke Davis?
I do really like him, and in fact, he is, by a whole standard deviation, our highest value running back. So we have McCaffrey projected for more raw points, but we have Ezekiel Elliott projected as our best combination of projected points and salary on Daily Roto. And part of the reason for that is the injury to Dak Prescott has really turned Dallas into a more run-heavy team over the last few weeks. Elliott he's seen his highest, total touch numbers other than the week 6 game against the New York Jets. He's seen them over the last 2 weeks in terms of his target share numbers. So, we basically just have Zeke projected for a similar workload to McCaffrey, which he had not been for large portions of this year.
Yep, I think that's totally fair. I love McCaffrey. I love Zeke this week. Now, are there any other higher end or even middle tier running backs that you guys would be comfortable using in cash games? Or are we going all the way down to that cheap tier with DeAndre Washington, Damian Williams? I've got another name that I love, but I haven't heard you guys say him yet. So I want to wait and see if he comes up before I bring him up.
Le'Veon Bell at 5,800 is not a bad play. I've avoided Le'Veon Bell like the plague all year long because it's just the upside doesn't justify where his price was. But
5,800 for a guy who that might get 30 touches though.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to find a guy that's going to get 20 touches. That 5,800 bucks. This could also be his final audition to kind of get traded because the word is out that they're looking to trade him this offseason and they're going to showcase him. Over the last 2 weeks, he's had 29 and 23 touches. Brutal matchups against the Steelers and Ravens.
Yeah, but we only got 11 and 13 fantasy points. We need 14 to hit value.
Yeah, I mean, against the Bills back in week one, he totaled 23 DK points against them. That was his best finish actually this year. And the Bills have absolutely nothing to play for. They could actually rest a lot of their starters, even if they're dealing with aches and bruises. And I know that they haven't, like McDermott won't come out and say that he's going to rest those guys. He said that they're probably going to play, but he doesn't know how much. So it could be some backups he's playing against. And that Bills run defense, if there is a vulnerability to it, it's on the ground. So at 5,800, I have no issue with Le'Veon.
All right, Davis, what do you think about Le'Veon Bell? Their implied team total is 18. It's probably going to be a little bit rainy during this game. Do you like him at this price? Is there another mid-range, high-end running back that you like a little bit more?
So we have Le'Veon Bell as a positive value. I am 0% interested in playing him, though. If I was playing a more mid-tier running back, like I would not probably play him in cash, but Miles Sanders against the New York Giants, he is probably my favorite mid-tier running back play of the week for tournaments. But the reason why I don't think you have to look at these guys in cash games is we're going to have a bunch of cheap running backs to choose from in like value guys. So we have DeAndre Washington, 5,200. We have Patrick Laird with Myles Gaskin out. We have Damian Williams. We have, whether you think Justice Hill or Gus Edwards is more likely to get most of the volume for Baltimore,
I don't think you could use either in cash games though, just because we don't know.
I think on DK, you can use Justice Hill because I would imagine that Unlike Lamar Jackson, I think Robert Griffin will throw to the running backs a little bit more, and Hill is going to get that passing down work for them. So I think Hill is a reasonable play, but I prefer Patrick Laird, who I think is likely to get probably 50 to 60% of the groundwork for Miami. But I mean, they have no one else left. The only other runner they have left in the backfield is DeLance Turner, who was playing fullback for them 2 weeks ago.
You're right. And, you know, Patrick Laird, we thought he was going to lose some touches last week. He actually didn't touch the ball that much. He gets the Patriots, though. We know we're going to be playing from behind. He's probably going to get 5-6 targets again. Tags, what do you think about Laird? I've got another play to throw in as well, but first, tell me what you think about Laird.
I think Laird's probably going to hit value at 4,300, but that doesn't make me want to play him, though. I mean, because like the thing is, you have to think about...
Just because there's so many options on the slate, I feel the same way.
Yeah, those running backs and flex options are so valuable to running backs that we kind of have to get a guy that's that has a chance of carrying our lineup if one of the wide receivers doesn't get the targets that we're expecting him to. So, I mean, going to 4,700 and getting Damian Williams, at least you're getting a little bit of upside there. I mean...
You think that's safe, though? Because I heard Davis mention Damian Williams, and I'm like, I mean, I know he had 16 touches last week, but remember the last time he had 19 touches and he went to 12. He had 19.
Well, Spencer Ware's gone again. Darwin Thompson, they've clearly shown us that they don't trust him. The Chiefs have everything to play for. LeSean McCoy was inactive last week.
Yeah, I mean, for whatever reason, and it you know, it seems kind of weird. Like, LeSean McCoy was clearly brought in because Andy Reid liked him. And, I mean, they have just jerked him around all year long. Like, they have made him a healthy and active now twice. And he, like, you know, Damian Williams was out with injury for a month, and he just, like, straight up lost his job, like McCoy did when Damian came back. Like, it seems odd the way they're treating him. But, yeah, I mean, would it even surprise you if McCoy, like, didn't receive a touch in this game? Would not surprise me.
Wouldn't it surprise me either. The guy that I like a little bit more, and guys, talk me off the ledge if I'm wrong here, it's Sony Michel. The last 2 weeks since they started using their linebacker Roberts as a fullback, Sony Michel has 42 touches. I think he's going to get a huge workload again against Miami this week.
I would rather pay 49 for Sony than I would 43 for Laird, just because I think there's more touchdown possibility with Sony.
But not over Damian Williams.
Not, I don't think I would do it over Damian Williams. It's really close, though. I actually think it's a question. But you see the Patriots, they were throwing the ball 40-plus times like every single game to start the year, and they're slowly starting to realize, well, Tom Brady's not playing so particularly well, and we should probably get our run game going into the playoffs. We need to do that. And we've seen that happening. We've seen Sony get touches, and we know against Miami, I mean, teams average, I think it's 32 touches, running back touches per game. So even if we give James White a couple, even if we give Rex Burkhead some, Sony should get 18 touches in this game. And at 4,900, that's tough to pass on. Like, you look at all the correlation with running backs and you say, his team is projected for over 30 points. His team is favored by 16 points. His team is at home. The opponent hasn't been able to stop the run all year long. So I don't think Sony at 49 is a bad play. It's just... I think he's a better play on FanDuel because obviously it's the half PPR rather than a full.
But he's also the same price as Philip Lindsay on FanDuel, so I'm not going to play him over there. Sony Michel has no PPR benefit because he just doesn't catch passes. So, Davis, I want to ask you, okay? You mentioned Damian Williams. You mentioned DeAndre Washington. If you're picking between these two, who do you like better?
Washington, because they have something to play for sure. There is a scenario, I don't have my sheet pulled up right now, but there is a scenario where, like, if Andy Reid or, like, what, you know, one of Andy Reid's assistants comes up to him at halftime and says to him, oh, the Patriots are up 21-0 against the Dolphins, then, you know, we might see Matt Moore, we might see Darwin Thompson, we might see Byron Pringle instead of the full Chiefs starters.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. I like Washington a little bit more as well. Now, all these guys we've mentioned, Williams, Washington, Sony Michel, I'm not using any of them because I'm using Austin Eckler this week against Kansas City. They've been horrible against running backs, and we know they're going to be playing from behind. We know Austin Eckler is going to have himself 5 receptions for 50-plus, maybe 100-plus yards, and he's going to get half a dozen carries as well.
Davis, I'm curious about your thoughts on him because, like, I'm done trying to guess with, like, regression on him. Like,
but like, when's the last time that he had fewer than double-digit fantasy points? It's all the way back in week 6, and it's the only time this season.
I get that, and like, but the same can be said. When's the last time he had more than 13 touches? You'd have to go all the way back to week 9. Believe me, I've thought about it. I was writing up a DraftKings primer yesterday, and
I read it. It was awesome.
Yeah, and I was thinking about putting Eckler in there, and I was like, at 6,200, I can't really justify playing him when he's getting 12 touches a week. I understand that he keeps breaking regression. He keeps doing good. So, Davis, maybe you could talk me into him, because I initially wanted to like him against KC, but I don't know how to feel about him anymore.
I mean, you just have to think about him as a receiver who gets a couple rushes, right? Because, like, Melvin Gordon gets all the goal line work, but Eckler gets, you know, a majority of the good passing work. I don't think I would play him in this game, though. I think I would prefer Devonta Freeman and Miles Sanders over him in terms of those 6K running backs.
You know, our model for DraftKings is also spitting out Melvin Gordon as a good value against Kansas City. I'm not touching that in a cash game. Adrian Peterson, again, I'm not touching it in a cash game. And then Leonard Fournette. He's popular over on DraftKings, and on FanDuel, we've got him as the number three value. I don't know if I want to go there in cash games either, though. What do you think, Davis?
No, yeah, I don't see him being a play, really. No way am I rostering a Jaguar.
I'm with you, man. I'm a Jags fan, and I'm totally with you.
They just, like, it's just they've given up, right? Like, every year we see these teams over the stretch, like, they're often teams that think going into the season that they can compete and then end up not being able to compete, and that's what we have with the Jaguars. You know, they thought, okay, we got a good defense, we signed Nick Foles, like, things are going to be all right, and then we just see those teams that think they can compete that end up getting blown out, like, and that's what's happening with the Jaguars, is they just are not trying.
And when they're being fined, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars for doing something that the coaches don't like, they just stop trying to. But yeah, he's not even a lock for 20 touches anymore, so I'm fading Fournette for sure.
So here's the thing. This is why Fournette's always a topic that people want to talk about. And there's a lot of DFS players that love Fournette because of the volume. Based on the volume that Leonard Fournette has gotten, he should cost like 85 to 9K. He should. But based on his production, he should cost like 5,500 to 6K because he never hits that value. Like, he just never gets up there. He never breaks you. Like, he never breaks the value either in terms of he's not 3Xing like ever because he doesn't score touchdowns. That offense is just struggling. Indianapolis is not particularly bad on the ground, so I would rather play Joe Mixon, I think, at 7,200 than Fournette, but I'm not playing either of them because if I'm going up that high, you might as well get up to Zeke or McCaffrey.
So we've primarily been talking about DraftKings so far, and I just want to mention on FanDuel, I'm not playing Christian McCaffrey. He's 11 grand. There's not as much money to go around. Like, at tight end on DraftKings, you can get a tight end for 3,500 bucks. If I want the 15th best tight end on FanDuel, he's still 5,500 bucks. I don't have money for that kind of stuff. So I'm not going McCaffrey and Elliott. I like Elliott over McCaffrey. So I'm going Elliott. I'm going Joe Mixon, as Tags just mentioned. He's a lock for 20, 25 touches against a bad Cleveland run defense. And Mixon has been on fire. And I'm going Alvin Kamara at Carolina. I love the matchup. As Davis mentioned, they've got something to play for. And let's look at Kamara's schedule over the last 2 months. I mean, he's played Atlanta, a good run defense, Tampa, Atlanta.
Well, they have something to play for unless the Packers are beating the Lions, but like if they are just smoking the Lions, there is a chance. Now, there's another game that can impact their seeding with San Francisco, Seattle later on. So the Saints are probably, I would say they're like 80% to play their starters all four quarters, but they're not 100%.
So you wouldn't use Kamara in cash games because of that 20% possibility? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like, so for example, I think a decision you would have is Ezekiel Elliott versus Alvin Kamara on DraftKings. They're $200 apart, and that just that small little bit of uncertainty is enough for me to side with Elliott because you know 100% that the Cowboys have to play this game out. They're losing is not an option in this game.
It's definitely Zeke for me on either side, but I want to use both of them because I'm replacing McCaffrey with Kamara. Like, would you rather save $3,100 bucks and go down to Kamara on FanDuel?
I think I would play. What is DeAndre Washington on FanDuel?
DeAndre Washington is $6,300. So we're gonna need 15, 16 points for him to hit value, and we've got him projected consensus projections at 12.1.
I that seems low to me because like I just what would Josh Jacobs be projected for here, right? And I don't really see much of a difference between and actually if you wanted to hot take it, they actually target DeAndre Washington more often when Washington starts than they targeted Jacobs when he started. Like, and I don't know, I don't have a good reason for why that is. I don't know why they chose to do that. I just know that that is in fact the case, that they target DeAndre Washington when he starts more.
Tags, any other running backs you want to add to the conversation or people, you know, players that you want to warn people off of?
I don't really want to warn. It's really tough. I mean, obviously anybody from the Ravens, the Bills, and the Vikings, you kind of want to stay away from because those guys have nothing to play for. But looking at it, Kerryon Johnson. So this is crazy. He's 4,500 on FanDuel, Kerryon Johnson against the Packers.
Oh, yeah.
I'm down with that.
How many snaps did he play last week?
He played quite a few. Like he's losing, he lost some of the work to Bo Scarborough, but
yeah, feels like you should probably play him. I would agree with that.
At 4,500, it just feels like, because I mean, Green Bay is not, they're not someone that stops the run particularly well. At 4,500, that just seems like too cheap. That allows you to play McCaffrey if you want to. So yeah, I kind of, yeah, if there's one player on FanDuel that I would say, I think Kerryon, that's crazy, 4,500.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. All right, guys, on over to wide receivers. But first, I want to tell you about a contest we have going on. We're giving away a signed, full-sized Kenny Golladay Lions helmet at fantasypros.com/contest. All you have to do to enter is leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher and take a screenshot of that review and send it to us at contest@fantasypros.com. And it's only going to take about 30 seconds to do. And also, this contest ends on New Year's Eve night, so make sure to get your entries in. Again, that's fantasypros.com/contest for details. And we're able to do this contest and lots of other contests that we've done throughout the year thanks to Pristine Auction. And when you go to Pristine Auction, it's free to sign up. Sign up and enter the registration code FANTASYPROS, all one word. That's going to get you $5 off, and it's going to tell them we are sending people their way. That way, we can keep doing these contests. You guys are going to love Pristine Auction. In fact, Tags and I are always on Pristine Auction looking for good values, and they're not that hard to find because there's hundreds, sometimes even thousands of items that they auction off every day. Tags and I actually got each other Christmas gifts from Pristine Auction. I got him a signed Alabama Amari Cooper helmet, and Tags got me a signed Corey Davis jersey that's definitely going to be hanging on my wall at my home office. You guys can check out Pristine Auction and find what you will love at pristineauction.com, P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, auction.com. Okay, guys, let's go on over to the wide receiver position. And for the first time, I don't think the conversation starts with Michael Gallup. He's probably going to be in there, but I think it starts with Greg Ward. You play him on DraftKings, right?
He's been a very solid value, and I think that his value is probably even a little bit better with Zach Ertz either banged up or maybe not even able to play at all.
Yep. This Giants secondary is brutal, man. Like Dwayne Haskins and Case Keenum combined to complete 28 of 37 passes for 291 yards and 3 touchdowns. I mean, even with Janoris Jenkins, they were bad, but losing him just brought them to another level of bad. And Greg Ward, 23 targets over the last 3 weeks at 4,700. Sign me up. I also think that Steven Sims is a play at 4,700.
Yeah, I don't know if he's as reliable as Greg Ward, but he's on my radar for sure. Definitely for GPP. So I think we're all in agreement. Greg Ward's a good play this week. I don't think you have to lock him into your lineup, but a lot of people are going to use him. He's probably going to be 25-30% owned, maybe 40% in cash games. So the conversation comes to, okay, we're spending on two running backs. Are we going to use Julio or Michael Thomas? Because we can't use both. Julio goes up against Tampa. He's been getting bonkers targets. And Michael Thomas goes up against Carolina, but he's Michael Thomas. So Tags, which way are you going? I'm guessing Julio.
If I'm paying up, if I had to choose between the two, it'd probably be Julio. But I'm not. It's 8,500. You're not getting him at a discount at all. Like the targets are there. The Bucs matchup is obviously good.
Sure. Over under 17 targets against Tampa. I'm not even joking, man.
I would set the over under probably like 10, but he's probably going to get those. I would say he's going to.
He's got 35 targets in the last 2 weeks against San Francisco and Jacksonville, dude.
Oh, I know. Believe me, I know. But I like Austin Hooper quite a bit in that game, too. But I want to go back to Steven Sims. I want to know why we don't like him. Like the guy.
I like him. I think Steven Sims is a super strong play on both sides.
Talk me into it then. I mean, he does have double digit targets each of the last 2 weeks.
28 over the last 3 weeks. And like once Case Keenum came in, like we saw him score. Like Case Keenum has supported slot receivers.
Yeah, but we're moving from the Giants and the Eagles secondary to Dallas.
Dallas's slot is where they're beat, man. Jordan Lewis is the one playing the slot. Like if you look at their over the last month and a half since they lost their starting slot cornerback, they've been beating the slot a little bit. And Case Keenum is an upgrade. Like he supported slot receivers. You go back to Minnesota when Thielen was there. You go back to Denver when he was with Emmanuel Sanders. Trey Quinn produced a little bit with him at quarterback. And now, like last week, we saw Steven Sims. And Terry McLaurin might be out.
I think it's likely he's going to be out.
Yeah, it seems like he's going to be out. So these targets have to go somewhere. So in the slot, I mean, for 4,700, if you're looking to spend up for Zeke and McCaffrey and guys like that, then you kind of have to find a couple of these guys like Greg Ward, like Steven Sims.
Okay, who else do you guys want to throw in there? Davis, why don't you go next with a wide receiver or two that you're fond of?
Well, there are a couple guys in the mid tier who project really well, but are hard to stomach. Guys like Christian Kirk, who is at 4,700. You know, they just keep trying to make him cheaper and cheaper. Jalen Ramsey not playing in this game. Zero receptions on 5 targets for Kirk last week. I know that people, it's hard to stomach playing Kirk, but he, you know, he does have a very valuable role in that offense. You know, we have Jamison Crowder at 5,100, Randall Cobb at 3,900, Mohamed Sanu at 4,100. There are a couple guys there who are, you know, kind of viable options. But yeah, I think that Ward, Justin Watson, and Steven Sims are the 3 cheap wide receivers that I really like. I think the roster construction I will end up going with is McCaffrey, 2 value running backs, 1 of Julio Jones, Michael Thomas. And honestly, at this point, I'm kind of hoping that Zach Ertz plays so that I don't have to pay, so that you don't have to do the $4,900 Dallas Goedert, and you know that you're able to take like a, you know, someone like Caden Smith or whatever.
Heck yeah, though, man. $4,900 for Dallas Goedert if Ertz is out, definitely would do that one.
Yeah, he's like the best play.
Right. He's probably the best tight end on the whole week. Tags, why don't you give me another wide receiver or two that you're fond of?
I mean, Devontae Adams is a step down from Michael Thomas and Julio, but I think he might be safer for cash games at AK. But going down to the middle tier, because I think that I could probably fit some of these guys, Cortland Sutton versus Oakland, 6,400. There are only 5 wide receivers who have tallied at least 56 yards in 11 games this year. Michael Thomas, Julio Jones, DJ Moore, and Devontae Parker, and then Cortland Sutton. So it's like the consistency has been there with him. Oakland has been burned over and over and over again on the perimeter. And they might be without starting cornerback Trayvon Mullen for this week. 10 targets each of the last 2 weeks with Lock under center. So Cortland Sutton at 6,400 kind of makes a lot of sense to me.
Davis, what do you think about Cortland Sutton?
I really like him. And actually, I kind of like Drew Lock too. I kind of think that Drew Lock is, you know, I think he might be a little bit better than draft people thought that he was. I think the issue you run into with playing Cortland Sutton at 6,400 is just because of the offense he plays in. It's unclear if he has true, like, I think I would, this sounds crazy, but I would rather play like Breshad Perryman over him because he's so much more likely to have like the explosion game than Sutton is.
Yeah, Perryman actually looked really good last week as well. 2 other guys that I want to throw out there just to get your guys' opinions. I'm not locked in on them, but you know, I've been seeing Keenan Allen play some good football lately. I don't love the matchup against Kansas City, but you know they're going to be down. And then DJ Chark over on FanDuel has gotten to the point where, yeah, I'll play him again against Indianapolis. Not a very good pass defense, $5,900. He's the 41st most expensive wide receiver on the slate. He's cheaper than Justin Watson. I'm probably playing DJ Chark.
I mean, at that price, I'd probably play him too.
Yeah, that's a good price. I don't disagree.
All right, any other wide receivers you guys want to throw in before we go quarterback?
Well, I'll talk about him on the tournament side, but I mean, is Michael Gallup a play at 5,400?
I thought about him too, yeah. I don't know if I like him for cash games.
Amari and Gallup both interest me, but maybe that's better for tournaments just because, like, with the way that Dak with his shoulder, what it's doing, Amari with his injuries, and if Amari is okay, then Gallup obviously falls to the number 2 option. I don't see them throwing a whole lot if they don't have to, so maybe they're better in tournaments.
I guess one other name would be Kelvin Harmon. If we're going to talk about Steven Sims, Harmon's even cheaper. And it's not been targeted near as much.
He's a good football player, too. It's like when I was watching Darius Slayton earlier in the year, I was like, man, when this guy finally gets the ball thrown his way, he's going to be great. And Harmon has had the ball thrown his way, but it's been from Haskins. Now he's got Case Keenum, who's a substantial upgrade. So I could definitely see Harmon having a big game.
Yeah, I think it's definitely in the range of outcomes.
All right, guys, quarterback position. Tags, you spending up from Mahomes?
No, I'm not. The Chargers play, it's too slow of a pace. Like, that game is slower pace than I'd want it to be. And I don't think Mahomes is necessarily a bad play at all.
He's going to be the most popular player, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, saving 300 and going down to Aaron Rodgers, I think I might do that. I don't know if I'm going to play either of them, but...
Davis, are you with Tags?
I mean, I'm just waiting for one of these teams to say we're just straight up benching our starting quarterback so that I can pay, like, so I can just play one of these super cheap guys. So whether that is...
Well, then you can play Thomas and Julio. That would be awesome.
Well, what I want, if my dreams came true, the Rams would announce that Jared Goff's just not going to play at all. That he's just not going to play any snaps.
So that you could make a lot of money off Blake Bortles?
Yeah, and then Bortles would pay be the play at $4,500. or for the Ravens to say to say that Trace McSorley is not going to play. But I unfortunately think that McSorley is going to at least get a quarter against the Steelers, and that that's going to make RG3, you know, like a non-play.
I think that's fair. Tags, would you play Blake Bortles if Jared Goff was ruled out?
I probably would, honestly. At 4,500, it's tough to pass on that. It's just, it's too easy. I mean, I'm thinking about Baker at 5,700. That just tells you where I'm at.
Yeah, and Phillip Rivers is really low priced too. I mean, he's top five in the league in passing yards.
Nah, Rivers can get benched too easily. Like,
yeah,
I am not playing a quarterback that can get benched.
Well, what about Case Keenum at 4,500?
No.
Or Gardner Minshew at 5,300.
Thought about Gardner. Thought about him. I think that he presents a decent floor. But he didn't play particularly well last week.
He just doesn't have much upside.
Yeah, I mean, none of the guys down there do, and that's why they're charging what they are for them. But that's why I thought Baker at 57 makes kind of some sense. I mean, we just saw Ryan Fitzpatrick throw for 419 yards, four touchdowns against the Bengals. And it seems like William Jackson, their top cornerback, the only one worth anything in that secondary, is unlikely to play. So, I mean, if the Browns want to go out on a high note, this could be the game.
Over on FanDuel, our value system ranks Patrick Mahomes as the number one play, but he's $8,600. I don't have that kind of money to spend. Jameis Winston's behind him. Drew Brees at Carolina. Dak Prescott, you're not playing him in cash games with a hand injury. And then we've got Matt Ryan at Tampa Bay, which is a really interesting option. And then Gardner Minshew again, which is where I'm going to end up likely. I don't love the upside, but it affords me to be able to spend up on those running backs.
One thing I was worried about when looking at Tampa Bay, it's so crazy. Did you know that there's only been three quarterbacks all year who have averaged more than 7.6 yards per attempt against them?
Really?
It's crazy. It's something I just noticed like when I was researching stuff yesterday, and I was like, that's crazy. But, I mean, they've been somewhat of a better defense. I mean, look at Matt Ryan, week 12, QB 23. Minshew in week 13, QB 26. Brissett obviously held him to, like, next to nothing. Deshaun Watson, you know, he finished with like 9 fantasy points against them last week. So, I mean, they have gotten better. So that's the only thing I'm worried about. I mean, I don't mind Matt Ryan, but that's the only thing I'm worried about.
We didn't mention the guy who I think is the best quarterback play.
Uh-oh. Who is it?
It's Jameis. Jameis is just on this insane pace. He's throwing like 50 passes a game.
Right.
And this is the over-under here. Like, this is going to be one. And as we basically see every single year, the who cares bowls, like these games where both teams are eliminated but they're playing starters, end up being like some of the best.
Yeah, it's like the Pro Bowl, because nobody cares in that. They don't really play defense. I mean, Winston gets 300 plus, 400 plus yards every single week.
Yeah, so Jameis is who I have saved right now in my DraftKings shell. Now, I would abandon Jameis for Bortles or for one of these cheap fill-in guys if given the opportunity, but Jameis is who I think is the best right now.
It's a good call, man. That, you know, he's not that expensive over on FanDuel either. He's the 7th most expensive quarterback. Our consensus projections have him as the 3rd best quarterback on the week, so that's a serious value. Actually, that was over on DraftKings. On FanDuel, he's the 5th most expensive quarterback. So he will be a fairly popular play, and probably for good reason. All right, guys, we've got tight ends and then DST, and then we're going to circle back around and go GPP. But first, it's New Year's resolution season. You guys know that. Everyone says they're going to change everything. You know, hit the gym, get outside more, sleep better. But no matter how different things look next year, there's one thing that's still going to be a part of your daily routine. Sitting on the couch. So why not bring a positive change into every part of your life by upgrading to a new Burrow sofa? I love my Burrow sofa. It is like, I seriously can't describe how comfortable it is, because I heard it was going to be really comfortable, and then I sat on it and I was like, dude, you guys undersell this. It is way more comfortable than they say. It's got durable fabric that's naturally scratch and stain resistant. It's got built-in USB chargers, and you can customize it however you want too. You can pick your fabric color, leg finish, armrest style, and length. You can add a chaise lounge or ottoman or both. And you can set it up yourself in minutes. It's super easy. You can add or remove seats as needed. You can even convert a love seat or a sofa into a corner sectional in the future. And it's more than just sofas, too. Burrow's Genius Sleep Kit transforms your comfy sofa into an even comfier bed. Burrow also offers a collection of affordable rugs and coffee tables, and it comes with free 1-week shipping. Ring in the new decade with up to $500 off fresh furniture. Go to burrow.com/fantasypros and use the code NYE to get the deal. That's burrow.com/fantasypros and the code is NYE for up to $500 off your purchase of Burrow furniture. And hurry, because this sale ends on January 5th. Burrow.com/fantasypros, code NYE. Okay, guys, let's go tight end. And I think we all agree that if Ertz is out, Goddard's the play. You kind of have to do it. But I'm looking at it, and Dallas Goddard's $400 more expensive than Hunter Henry against the Chiefs. Could you use him in cash games, or is there someone else you'd have your eye on, Davis?
If Ertz is out, I'm 100% just playing Dallas Goddard.
Tags, will you say the same thing so all three of us can agree?
I might play Goddard even if Ertz plays.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Okay. So
it could be a decoy situation where he's not going to, they don't want him to absorb hits. I don't think he's playing for what it's worth.
So let's say Ertz does play. Davis, are you using Goddard or are you going with someone else?
This is not reflected in our projections, but I really like Caden Smith for the Giants. He's just in there all the time. He never leaves the field for them. So I really like that. Like, I just love having a guy who's literally on the field every single snap and who they use in the red zone as well. I think that he is a legitimate option. And the other guy that I really like is OJ Howard. Those are my two non-Goddard guys that I really like.
Yeah, I don't think either of those guys are bad plays at all. I'm kind of fond of Noah Fant with the matchup against Oakland. He's more of a GPP play, though, because he's got two receptions each of the last 2 weeks. So I'm probably going to be playing Goddard. And if not him, yeah, I think I would go with O.J. Howard over on FanDuel or DraftKings. Austin Hooper is also a really good value over on FanDuel. He's the 10th most expensive tight end going up against Tampa Bay. Whew! That's probably better than Goddard on FanDuel. Over on DraftKings, Goddard's a lock, but over on FanDuel, Hooper at that price, $6,000 is not bad going up against Tampa Bay. $5,800, he's fourth most expensive.
No, I don't think I can get there at tight end this week. I mean, if you're paying up, I think Tyler Higbee deserves some consideration too. Obviously, you know, like one of the hottest tight ends in football, if not the.
He gets Arizona, holy cow.
But do we really want to trust that? You know, Davis was just talking about Jared Goff potentially resting him, or do they go out on a high note? Do they want to, like, reinstill some confidence in Jared Goff and put him against Arizona while he's at home? I don't know. There's some variables there, but I can't see myself spending up a tight end this week. I do like Davis's call of OJ Howard is like a $4,300 if I'm going a little bit cheaper, but I'm going to try and find a way to get Goddard in there.
You could go all the way down to Irv Smith at $2,800.
That might make some sense. I mean, but they're resting their starters. It sounds like that Cousins is going to be out, Diggs, Thielen, which
they're treating it as a full preseason game, basically.
So wouldn't you think that the second string rookie would get a fair amount of snaps, or are you just saying it's just not safe? Who knows?
That's the tough part, is like, we don't know. They may view him as a starter because he is involved almost as much as Kyle Rudolph. He just hasn't scored the touchdowns.
Okay, that's totally fair. Let's go DST for cash games tags. Why don't you start us off? You going with the Bears this week?
I am. I'm just going to, yeah. I am so tired of trying to guess defenses, because it's just like, there's so much variance there. And again, with the Bears, now that we know that it seems like the Vikings are going to be resting their starters, Bears at 2,100.
I mean, they're going to be like 50% owned. If you don't play them, you're being too cute.
Like, in cash games, they should legitimately be 100% owned.
I think so, too. I can't imagine not using the Bears over on DraftKings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2,100, it's kind of like, it's giving you that, and it's allowing you to do some other things in your lineup. So, yeah, in cash, for sure.
So, they're the 15th most expensive on FanDuel, 3,900. That's a good value, but not good enough that I would want to play them. I'm probably going to be using the Jets at 3,200 against Buffalo, maybe Los Angeles at 3,800 against Arizona. I'd prefer them a little bit to Chicago, but there's no slam dunk lock DST over on FanDuel. Let's circle back around and go GPP now. We'll stay at the defense special team position. Tags, who can get into the end zone?
I mean, the Steelers at 3K. I like them. I like the Packers at 3K, the Jets at 2,700. Like, these are the defenses that I would consider, because you have to pay a little bit more than you do, obviously, for the Bears. But, you know, the Jets could be going against Matt Barkley for a majority of that game. If you've watched David Blau play quarterback, you understand why the Packers are in there. And then the Steelers at 3K against Robert Griffin III, or even McSorley, potentially. In the 13 games they've played with Minka Fitzpatrick, they've had just three games with fewer than 11 DraftKings points. So, going against backups with Baltimore, they don't even have Mark Ingram. I think the Steelers are a solid play.
So what do you guys think about, you know, everyone knows the Ravens are benching their starters and everything, but What do you think about just picking on the Steelers anyway? If this is a mediocre defense going up against the Steelers, I'd get some exposure, Davis.
Yeah, no, I like that. I think a really interesting thing to do on DraftKings would be in your tournament lineups to just play no Bears defense at all, because you know that they are going to be far and away the most owned. And, you know, we also know that defenses are, like, the outcomes are pretty much completely random and just based on, you know, just based on who scores touchdowns. And, you know, if the Bears get 6 DraftKings points against the Minnesota Vikings, they're like drawing dead to be in the optimal lineup. So I think that's a really interesting thing to do. In fact, it's probably what I will do in my tournament lineups.
So do you have any DSTs that you like quite a bit?
Yeah, I mean, I'd really like, obviously, the Packers. They're pretty expensive. In terms of cheap defenses, I think that the Titans are maybe going to go a little bit overlooked because Watson might actually start this game, but I don't think that he will finish it. In fact, I think it's more likely that he will not finish the game because there's the Houston just, you know, they have completely nothing to play for. So I think that they're pretty strong. In general, I just think looking at teams that have something to play for versus teams that are playing for nothing is the right way to approach defense this week.
All right, tight end, and I'm starting this off with Jonnu Smith, who I just love watching play. Now, he's not getting the targets right now, 4 the last 3 weeks, but this is somebody who's just, he's a playmaker. And he's so good that I think maybe Tennessee will just all of a sudden start giving him 9-10 targets in a game like the Rams did with Tyler Higbee when they realized what they had. He gets a good matchup against Houston as well. I think Jonnu Smith is going to be very low-owned and has some big-time upside, as we've seen 4 weeks already this season.
Jonnu Smith is an interesting one. I like him.
Yeah, I have no issue with that. I think the issue with playing Titans any week is they run so few plays and they run the ball so often that you, like, whoever you take as a pass catcher, they are going to have to do it on 5 interactions.
Fortunately, Ryan Tannehill is one of the most efficient quarterbacks of all time this season.
Yeah, I mean, it would help if Corey Davis is out too. It would free up some of those targets.
Right. All right, who are you going with at tight end for GPP tags?
Honestly, I'm not going to veer too far off what I'm doing in cash. I don't feel like it's necessary this week.
That's usually the case, yeah.
Yeah, I was kind of just looking through it one last time just to see, but I just don't really feel great about anybody down in the cheaper range. And yeah, I mean, I guess you could say Jason Witten, maybe at 3,900, hoping that he catches a touchdown and you get him at 3,900. That's, I mean, he's a guy that does get targets. Washington has struggled against tight ends. If Dak's arm is really hurting, hand, whatever it is, it would help Jason Witten. So, but again, I'm probably just going to stick what I'm doing in cash lineups.
You know, it's really interesting because the top 3 tight ends will more than often finish as the tight end 1. So you almost have to spend up and do the don't get too cute strategy at tight end for GPP. Whereas like wide receiver, we have all these random dudes. There's like an 85% chance that the top wide receiver any given week isn't even going to be in the top 5, top 10 rankings just because it's so volatile. But at tight end, it's more predictable. So are you sticking with Dallas Goedert, Austin Hooper, that group of players, Davis?
Yeah, I mean, what I normally do with tight ends is I don't try and fight the chalk too hard, but I will just whatever quarterbacks I'm using in my player pool, I will correspond those with my stacks. So, like, let's say this week, let's say that in my player pool, I want Jameis, I want Drew Brees, I want Patrick Mahomes, and I want, let's say, Daniel Jones, and I will correlate that. So I'm very strict about stacking. Pretty much every team that I put in tournaments, I'm gonna have a double stacked quarterback and then at least one pass catching player from the opposing team in those lineups. And that's kind of how I fill out tight end around. And I mean, you know, we only have 4 players this week on DraftKings that are projected as positive values by our stuff on Daily Roto. They're Travis Kelce, Tyler Higbee, OJ Howard, Cameron Brate, and almost Dallas Goedert, not quite yet, because we still have Ertz projected in. So if you think about that and you think there's really not that many good plays, I think it makes sense to just, as much as you can, just correlate that weak position with your quarterback.
I'm so glad you brought up Cameron Brate because I almost forgot him. I think he's a great GPP play.
Yeah, he is a very good tournament play.
All right, let's go wide receiver now. Tags, I'm sure you've got a couple options for us.
If you're looking for like a dirt cheap option that could do well, Randall Cobb. Again, talking about that, the defense that Washington is fielding right now. They're really struggling, and Randall Cobb has seen a few targets over the last couple weeks, so he's someone that I'm not opposed to at 3,900. D.D. Westbrook at 42. Those are like the cheap guys. But middle tier, I mean, that's where I get into Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham, Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup. I'm talking about these guys that maybe have disappointed as of late, and they're going to be lesser owned because of that, but their price allows you to do some things in your lineup. So I like the mid-price tier to attack those guys in there.
I was going to say Jarvis. I was also going to say Allen Robinson going up against Minnesota, who can't stop perimeter wide receivers. And Allen Robinson's one of the most talented wide receivers in football. He could go out with a bang. We've seen him post 20-plus points in, let's see, 6 games so far this season. Six out of 15, that's pretty dang good.
Yeah, no, he's been extremely solid. Maybe a better option for cash than tournaments, but he's solid.
I love Robert Woods as well. Davis, do you have a couple names?
Yeah, I mean, so if we think that Robert Woods is going to play the whole game, I do really like him there. I like Tyreek Hill a lot. Again, you know, thinking that he might not even need 4 quarters and he should be, you know, a pretty strong option. I already mentioned Breshad Perriman and Justin Watson. Really like both of those guys. You know, I think they are both pretty strong. Michael Gallup, we've already talked about. Perhaps Devontae Parker, if we think that we are going to get 4 quarters of him, you know, I think he's pretty strong. But I think my wide receiver pool, again, it's going to be very based on the news we get in terms of, you know, who's resting, who's starting, because, you know, some of these guys are projecting as really strong plays, you know, Jarvis Landry, Julio Jones, Michael Thomas, but, you know, we might get news that Julio's only going to play 2 quarters against Atlanta, and then, maybe we're thinking about Russell Gage and Olamide Zaccheaus and Christian Blake.
Tags, I got one more name, and you're going to love it. He had 13 targets last week. He's got the single game with the most air yards of any wide receiver all season, and he could break a big play for sure. It's John Ross. Could John Ross just go nuts this week?
I don't see it, but not to say it's not possible.
Week 1, 35 points against Seattle. Week 2, 21 points against San Francisco. And then he comes back, he gets eased back into the lineup. Week 16, 13 targets, 84 yards.
They do want him to be part of that offense, but then no Auden Tate, no AJ Green, obviously. That might not be the worst hot take.
It's the greatest hot take.
So that's basically, I'm
winning $1 million with Blake Bortles and John Ross.
Now that's more of like, that's what you're talking about. You're talking about those giant, like hundreds of thousands of people in tournaments. That's the type of shot that you can take and help separate you from the field. But if you're in like a tournament with like, you know, 10,000, 20,000 people, you don't even need to go that deep.
Dude, I'm not trying to win like 10 grand. I'm trying to win $1 million. You with me, Davis?
I think Ross is pretty strong off of that game from last week. And just like when he's been in, he really has been such a high air yards guy. I think he's pretty strong.
Okay, running back position. Are we getting cute here? Are we talking about the same guys we were using for cash games? Davis, why don't you start us?
Yeah, I really think it is. You know, I think you could have a super tight running back pool this week. I think that you could run. My pool is probably going to be something like CMC, Elliott, Kamara, Sanders, Washington.
You guys heard that Jordan Howard's back this week, right?
What they said was just that Scott and Sanders have played so well. And also, I think that they what they need out of their running backs now is pass catching, because all of their other pass catchers have just died. So I think that, I mean, maybe Howard would get some goal line touches, and maybe that sucks for Sanders, but Sanders is still going to have that valuable role in the passing game.
Yeah, no, I didn't want to talk you off him. I just want to make sure you guys knew, because like at 6,800, you're almost paying for that workhorse role he's been getting. Not quite, but almost. And if for whatever reason Jordan Howard comes back, fresh legs and all that stuff. But against the Giants, I just don't know if they need to, like, I don't know. I think he's a better tournament play than he is cash for sure. But I do like the Kamara call. He's going to have lesser ownership just because of Zeke right there. $200 more. People are going to go up to Zeke. They're going to go down to Fournette or Mixon. I do like Kamara. And we saw last week, I mean, the guy, he's been producing the way he always has. It's just like he was missing those touchdowns. And when those touchdowns come through, you're getting a 25-point running back.
And he had a horrid schedule for 2 months. Like, let's cut the guy a break.
And against the Panthers, they've allowed 28 touchdowns to running backs this year. It's kind of ridiculous. So, yeah, Kamara's a good one.
I got 3 more names I want to add. Davis, I really liked your list. I think Joe Mixon could have a really big game. I think Marlon Mack could have a huge game against Jacksonville, who, as you mentioned, has given up.
Hold on, real quick. What's the difference between Marlon Mack and Sony Michel? They've both sucked this year, right? Can we agree on that?
Marlon Mack has the best offensive line in football. That's the difference.
I don't know if they've been.
I won't play either one of those guys, almost for sure.
Yeah, that's probably like the way to go. That's probably the smarter thing, especially on DraftKings with the no point per reception, because you almost need two touchdowns for them to win you a tournament.
Oh, Kerryon Johnson was my other guy. Davis, you mentioned him earlier, and I've actually got one more. Go ahead, Tags. You had something else to say.
Ronald Jones. Is it possible? I mean, I've coined the term Arians. Is it possible we get Arians again? Yeah, but in tournaments, this is where you take your shot. If
he got, what, 5 targets in the passing game last week?
Yeah, and he kind of needs to, right? Like, that's another team where it's like with Miles Sanders, they're looking for guys. There was a point in the season, Davis, I don't know if you knew, that it was like 4 weeks ago maybe, that I looked up a stat, and Ronald Jones ranked 3rd in the NFL among running backs in yards per route run behind, like, Austin Ekeler and someone else. And I was like, why don't they use him more in this role? Like, I know people had it stuck in their minds that he sucked as a receiver, but he's actually done fine in that role. And coming off of a 17 touch game where he, you know, scored almost 20 DK points, it's the final game of the year in a matchup against Atlanta that banged up a little bit. I just think Ronald Jones at 4,900, he's a guy that's kind of being glanced over a little bit.
Yeah, I think he's pretty strong.
Yeah. I have one other name. I love the offense when Lamar Jackson is there, but he's not, so who knows what we're going to get. But they have a horrible matchup against Pittsburgh. Can Justice Hill have a big game against Pittsburgh if he gets the touches?
I mean, he's definitely going to be in my player pool.
He can break any run for a big play. I just don't know if he can do it against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Pittsburgh's been dominant on the ground and through the air. Like, I want to say, like, I don't know. I don't have the stat right in front of me, but I want to say that they were one of the best in terms of, like, top three, again, when it came to, like, production on the ground, and top three when it came to production through the air. Like, they're just not allowing anything. And I think that Kareem Hunt, wow, is the only running back. We're entering week 17. Only one running back has reached 14 PPR points against them this year, and that was Kareem Hunt. He had 7 carries for 46 yards, 5 receptions for 19 yards, but he did score a receiving touchdown.
But, like, Justice Hill, that's probably his comp is, like, you know, Kareem Hunt light. He's a very similar type of player.
Oh, no, I wouldn't say that. Kareem Hunt's a bruiser. Like, he can bang. Justice Hill's not that guy.
Do you ever watch Justice Hill in college? Like, he's not the same size, but he was a workhorse, dude.
So, Davis, you're going to be the tiebreaker here. Kareem Hunt or Reggie Bush as his comp?
Tags is, I mean, obviously Reggie Bush is like the 99th percentile, but yeah, he's more like that player to me.
Okay.
Because, like, I think that the Ravens coaching staff told us that too, because it's not like there wouldn't have been an open competition between him and Edwards, and Edwards just got all of those between the tackles stuff. And when they used Justice, like, that, I remember the one game where they used Justice Hill, it was because they thought they had a huge mismatch with the defensive ends for, I think it was the Bengals the first time they played, and he got like 6 like sweep plays.
You know, I want to go to the quarterback position, but first, we should probably talk about Mike Boone. First of all, because I need to eat some crow, and I cost quite a few people championships. Now, granted, I wasn't the only person in the industry. It was much of the industry loved Mike Boone. I was higher on him than most. I don't think Mike Boone is a bad player. I'm not saying he crapped the bed or anything like that. It was just, what did they run, 44 plays? If you would have told me at the start of the game they were running 44 plays, there's no chance I would have used Mike Boone. Like, he would have maybe made my top 20, but it just didn't work out. I'm sorry, guys. I really wish that it would have. It burned me too.
Yeah, no, I mean, you were definitely not the only one on him.
I think the process was good. I really do, you know, but process doesn't count when you're trying to win a championship.
That's the thing, Bobby. I had concerns about game script. I talked about it, like, throughout the week. And, I mean, I ended up having him, I think, as my RB19 or RB20. So,
and that's why you finished top 5 in accuracy, and I didn't. This week, the week before, I got number 1.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's just, I don't think it was a bad process. There were a lot of people that were on him. It's just, it honestly, I watched that entire game. Mike Boone, I'm not going to say that he's the reason that he didn't produce in that game. Like, he didn't have much room to operate. They didn't run a ton of plays. The offense was doing absolutely nothing all game. So it was just, it was what it was. And sometimes that happens in fantasy football when you rely on, you know, third string running backs.
Sure. That's fine. Let's go quarterback for GPP. Davis, who are you starting with Swift?
Well, you know, I will not be able to restrain myself, even if Trace McSorley is expected to get some snaps. I am going to play a little bit of Robert Griffin III. I just can't help myself. But the best advice I could give to people listening to this show is, if you just limited your player pool, you go into whatever optimizer you use or you're building by hand, and you only played players on teams with who are playing for something this week, you probably are going to have an edge on the field. So that's what I would be thinking about with my quarterback decisions.
Nice.
What do you have, Tags?
I like it. I like the call there. As I mentioned, Aaron Rodgers, like, because in cash, I can't pay up for a quarterback with what I want to do at running back. But Aaron Rodgers is someone in tournaments I like a lot because, like, he's someone that he's finished top three four times this year. And then, like, it's seemingly there was one QB 12 week, and then every other week he's been outside the top 20. So it's like you kind of have to pick, is it feast or famine? Is it boom or bust this week? And it's against the Lions. I mean, the Lions have allowed 11 of 15 quarterbacks to finish as top 12 options. They're playing inside of a dome. There's really not much to dislike about Rodgers here. And that team, I mean, as much as, you know, talk about like the fact that they're 12-3 now, they have to get something going because, like, when you watch this team, I know we talk about it every single week, but Davis, you're not a Chicago guy. Can you tell the listeners, like, what does Green Bay do well? Is there anything that you can say confidently going into the playoffs that they do well?
They suck. Like, I know that they have a good record and everything, but, like, I think that every NFC playoff team, including the winner of the NFC East, whether that's the Eagles or the Cowboys, would be favored in a neutral field over them.
Wow. But they have Lambeau. If they get the number one seed,
that'll help.
Are they making the Super Bowl? Because you have to go to Green Bay in the cold.
Breeze sucks in the cold, dude. I'll tell you that. I've seen Breeze play here in Chicago multiple times in the cold, and he's not very good. Aaron Rodgers, that they would have that going for them. But that's what I'm saying. I believe that they need to get, like, something going. They need to establish some momentum.
Their cornerbacks are okay. Actually, they get good cornerback play. I will give them that.
Alexander's fine. Tremont Williams is fine. Kevin King is terrible.
They take too many chances, man. They've got a lot of ability, but sometimes they give up big plays. And
yeah, Kevin King's the worst. You attack him like over and over.
The biggest issue they have is that they have all these guys who are maybe good playmakers, you know, whether that be Valdez Scantling, whether it be Geronimo Allison, you know, whoever, and Rodgers just won't throw to any of them. Rodgers just refuses to throw to anyone other than Davante Adams and Jimmy Graham.
Well, unless they're wide open, that's his problem. That's why he went from being the GOAT to, like, is he a top five quarterback in the NFL right now?
To being a game manager type player, like, and that it's frustrating.
Yeah, I just don't understand why he's doing that. I don't know if it's for the record books or some coaches in his ear.
He does not like to throw interceptions.
Yep.
Well, I guess he doesn't want to win then. I'm not saying interceptions help you win. I'm saying taking some chances helps you win.
I mean, there's a fine line here, Jameis Winston.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's definitely a fine line, but, like,
the issue with Jameis is that Jameis does two, so quarterbacks, I think of it as like a three-pronged thing. You can either throw interceptions, you can take sacks, or you can throw, like, take a chance, right? When it, like,
if you take a sack, you're essentially turning it over anyway because you're not going to get a first down.
The problem with Jameis is that he does both. Jameis takes horrible sacks and he throws picks, and you can't do both. You got to just do one or the other, and Jameis does both, and that is not good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going Drew Brees for GPP, guys. Who's playing better right now than Drew Brees? Maybe Lamar Jackson?
Drew Brees won a lot of people fantasy championships. He was the quarterback one during weeks 14, 15, and 16.
Yes, he was. He's the man. All right, Tags, do you have a GPP play for us?
Basically, I like Rodgers. And as I mentioned, Mayfield is someone that I do like quite a bit. I think Mayfield is a great tournament option.
What do you guys think about stacking Drew Brees, Michael Thomas, and Antonio Brown this week? I'm just messing. I don't think that's happening.
I hope that doesn't happen. I don't think it's going to happen. He's still on the exempt list, I think.
He's not, but I think that the NFL is going to tell whatever team signs him that he is on the exempt list once he signs. Because I think you can't be on the exempt list unless you're signed to a contract, right?
Interesting.
I don't know if that was... I don't know the logistics of it, but what I do know is that Antonio Brown is not playing football in the NFL.
So I should cut him in Dynasty, or is this just like a ploy to get me to cut him so you can pick him up?
I'm fine moving on from him, honestly. Like, you can, I would trade him at the hopes that, like, maybe, like, you take this news and you trade him to someone thinking that he's still going to... The dude has lost his mind, officially.
Man, it's very sad. Okay, let's go to our locks of the week for cash games. Davis, you get to pick yours first.
Lock of the week is DeAndre Washington.
DeAndre Washington. Okay, Tags, you can't pick Washington. Who are you picking?
It's really tough between McCaffrey and Elliott. I'm going to go with Zeke. I mean, it's narrative and it's like a well-informed decision, though, is that Jason Garrett's coaching for legit the playoffs and his job. I mean, none of it's guaranteed because he's probably going to lose both. But I mean, I think they take very little risks in this game. The last three games that the Redskins have played, they've allowed at least 34 DK points to Aaron Jones, Miles Sanders, and Saquon Barkley. So, I mean, Zeke at 8K, I'll use him as my lock.
They're never firing Jason Garrett.
I think it's going to happen on the field, like right as the game ends, because like they're going to, like, Philadelphia is going to win and they're out. And I truly believe that Jason Garrett will be the first head coach fired, because I think Jerry Jones might just do it on the field.
So this is going to be a little bit different than we've ever done before. So if Ertz is out, Goddard is my lock for DraftKings. If Ertz is not out, my lock is our first DST lock of the year. It's the Chicago Bears for DraftKings.
They are an Uber lock, yeah.
Yeah, we haven't had that all year. So on FanDuel, I'm going to go over. All right, I guess I'll take DJ Chark as my lock on FanDuel.
I like Chark. I don't know if I'd say a lock, but I think that he's a good play.
I don't think there really are any locks on FanDuel is really what it comes down to. But
Kerryon Johnson, 4,500.
All right, and let's get a game stack of the week. Davis, you're first on this one, too.
Okay, game stack of the week, Atlanta, Tampa Bay. It's the boring option, but I really do think it is probably the best.
So you're going like Winston, Perriman, Howard, Julio?
Yeah, or if Atlanta decides to rest guys, we will have, you know, some super value options there.
Yeah. All right, Tags, who are you going with?
Mayfield, Beckham, Landry. I'm stacking the three of them. It's such an easy one to stack to. I mean, if you wanted to come back on the other side and grab a John Ross, you could do that. Maybe you take I actually think that Tyler Boyd might be the better one to stack there, but that's such an easy game to stack because Mayfield's 5,700. You got both wide receivers for him at 59 and 57. I wonder if Kitchens is going to be back there, because we keep hearing that the Browns, you know, their front office is behind.
Players hate him.
I know they do, and they don't respect him either, and that's a real problem. Like, if you're a GM, how do you not see that and, like, say, okay, this isn't going to work? Like, at some point, you can't let the players dictate what you do, but at the same time, you have to do, like, what's happening on the field is not working. That's clear, and I think that's why the players are frustrated. So they need to move on from him, and I really hope they do. So if they struggle in this game, it'll kind of be like a win-win. But if they do well, he might be retained there, but maybe I make some money because I stack it.
Okay, guys, so I'm going a little bit boring too, and I think this is the week to do that because, as we mentioned, we've got 15 games here, and so people are going to try to get cute. I think there's an edge to be gained.
Stuff that you think is going to be chalk is not going to be near as chalk as you think, just because people have so many decisions to make.
Right. Yeah, usually we've got one quarterback who's like 35% projected ownership, another who's 20. This week it's so spread out. You know what I mean? So I'm going Drew Brees, Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, Christian McCaffrey for the game stack, New Orleans at Carolina.
That's a crazy one.
Isn't it weird stacking two running backs from the same game, but they're both pass catchers?
When you have McCaffrey, it can work. 100%.
Yep. All right, guys, that's all for today's show. Davis, as always, it was a pleasure, and good luck this weekend.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, guys. Always appreciate it. Always a good time coming on.
All right, and I want to say thanks to the sponsors of today's show. Burrow, ring in the new decade with up to $500 off fresh furniture by going to burrow.com/fantasypros and use the code NYE to get this deal. Again, that's Burrow, burrow.com/fantasypros, and the code is NYE for up to $500 off your purchase of Burrow furniture. And also Pristine Auction. You're definitely going to find something you love, and it's all guaranteed authentic from only the most trusted sources. Check out Pristine Auction at PristineAuction.com, and make sure to sign up for that full-size Kenny Galladay Lions helmet at fantasypros.com/contest. And if we help you win some money this year, you just had fun listening to us, please just take 30 seconds to leave that review to enter the contest. It really helps us out. We appreciate all the feedback we get, and Tags and I read every one of them. We love you guys. If you don't mind, please leave us a review. And by the way, don't forget about the Betting Pros podcast that we have going on as well. The best NFL Week 17 bets and favorite props episode, hosted by Dan Harris, is currently at bettingpros.com/podcast. For Davis Maddock and Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve slowly in a proof of your love. I don't even know how the chemistry works when your rules are kicking in the dirt, kicking in the sand, and stirring up trouble.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl goes shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.